Welcome to the EBXML and Related Technologies Awareness Series. My name is Sascha Schlegel. I'm working for Cyclone Commerce X-Ray. Today is April 28, 2006. Today's topic is the EBXML Collaboration Protocol Profile and Agreement. And my guest today is Dr. Dale Moberg. Hi, Dale.
Hi, Sascha.
Dale is a chief architect in the CTO office at Cyclone Commerce X-Ray. Dale has been involved in standards for a long time. Probably one of his bigger achievements is the AES2 business protocol. Dale might tell us a little bit more about it. Currently, Dale is involved in various OASIS EBXML technical committees. That includes EBXML messaging, of course, EBXML CPPA, EBXML business process, and the EBXML joint committee. Also, Dale follows various and many other standards from IETF, the World Wide Web Consortium, and OMG, the Object Management Group. So, Dale, how are you today?
Good. Ready to chat about collaboration protocols, profiles, and agreements.
Okay. Shall we get started with the questions?
Sure.
Okay. So, Dale, you're the chair of the EBXML CPPA Technical Committee, right?
That's correct.
Okay. So, please let us know what is the collaboration protocol profile and the collaboration protocol agreement?
I think that it is basically a document which tells how a certain business collaboration will be conducted in detail between the business participants or parties, and various collaboration protocols or exchanges of information and expectations about what messages will be sent and what will be received and in what order. In order to carry that protocol out, there needs to be various quality of service parameters for security and reliability agreed upon. Mm-hmm. And the collaboration protocol profile advertises the capabilities that a participant has for engaging in a certain business collaboration. Mm-hmm. And the agreement expresses, you might see, as a merge of the two profiles, which expresses how both parties in the collaboration will carry out their technical aspects of their collaboration. And that is really what the profiles and agreements do. Their use in, setting up and configuring the EBXML messaging agents is probably more complicated. Obviously, they can be stored in an EBXML registry repository and retrieved from them as needed, or relevant portions of them. And clearly, there's a relationship to the EBXML business process specs, because they define the actual business choreographies that tell you what is going on in the processes, as well as the BSI, the signal exchanges that the BP group has defined. So in a way, it's it sits in between things. It tries to be independent of them, but that independence is still a work in progress. Maybe we can get to that later as we talk about current directions. Mm-hmm. Just one word. You might say, why did this approach emerge in EBXML? It's not exactly unanticipated in, electronic commerce world. There was a EDI document that related to exchange of trading partner information, but it was mainly contact names and people and phone numbers to be used when you started trading with people, so you knew who you were dealing with. Furthermore, there have traditionally been legal kinds of contracts governing buying, mistakes in buying, who has liability, who doesn't have liability, that govern a collaboration. So those have been called trading partner agreements. The idea of a technical agreement, though, and this particular form it took in EBXML, kind of emerged gradually. And since I was there in the messaging group in the early days, it might be interesting to just hear about how we more or less came across this idea.
Yeah, please.
AS2, for example, is a very much a very simple protocol using HTTP. It's now protocols of this type are called REST style protocols. We didn't call it that then, but the idea is just to use a IETF standard application level communications protocol to move data back and forth between business and EDIINT. Chose to add on security features that made it suitable for business. In EDIINT, all the features of, you might say, the protocol behavior of the other side are indicated by the sender. They put on IETF headers that explain what is expected in terms of responding behavior, in terms of signed receipts, as we call them. And those can be selected and chosen. You can select to get back the receipt on the HTTP response, or you can say that you want it sent asynchronously to an endpoint specified by a URL. So in those kinds of protocols that had emerged early on, they were very dynamic. That is, exactly what was to be done in the delivery and acknowledgement of the message was dynamically configured and could be changed message by message. The level of quality of service and the amount of metadata describing the messages increased dramatically in EBXML because of several ideas. Most importantly, the idea of a business process or choreography, which the exchange of information was a part of. So there had to be information about the conversation instance that we were part of, because many business process instances could be run simultaneously. And there was also a need to refer to previous messages in the exchange to identify what you were responding to. Furthermore, the idea of a service and action that described what this particular interchange was for was described, and that these were metadata details put on the message to identify its intent or its purpose.
Okay.
So we were seeing that we had a lot of information about the messages emerging, and to make that all dynamic would have been perhaps quite a volume of headers being exchanged in process. And two camps emerged. One camp in messaging wanted to follow that kind of dynamic approach that was found in EDIINT protocols like AS2, and was also being proposed, I think, for some of the SOAP-based protocols. It wasn't quite XMLP yet, because EBXML was before XMLP, but SOAP-based interactions that people were experimenting with at that time. So there was this dynamic camp, and then there's another camp that said, well, business is going to want to have all that stuff up in the air dynamically. They're used to IT departments have requirements that things be controllable, that, they look at how things are supposed to occur. If things don't occur that way, they notify the other party that, they need to fix their systems. And in general, they like a kind of a cookie-cutter approach to the thousands of connections that they can, in fact, be involved in. And so those kind of cookie-cutter configurations of interaction with people for various business processes is kind of part of the thinking of large IT departments, setting up business collaboration communities. So that side of things favored, this idea of a collaboration protocol profile that said how I want to do things, and an agreement which says this is how we will be doing things between this time and some expiration time. And as you can gather, the channel agreement, the delivery channel agreement group won out. There were other contributing reasons to why that design was chosen, but one of the principal ones was simply that it seemed to be more appealing to the end user requirements being expressed for having an agreed upon way of doing things, so that there could be a kind of a cookie cutter approach to how the data was moved, and it would reduce the kind of management headaches of the process. Also, letting things be very dynamic, introduces the idea of lots of combinations which might, be in opposition to various security policies. So sneaking them through dynamically, or having policies that would govern all those choices, whether they were allowed or not, seemed to be getting into too much complexity for the end user market at that time. So maybe that will help you understand why there is a CPA. You can see it to some extent emerging gradually in the web services community as well, as they introduce ideas of policy and policy containers for information that may have little bits of configuration information about how people want to go about doing their collaboration. So the idea is not, let's say, only found in EBXML, but it perhaps is very characteristic of how things have been done, at least in the initial parts of EBXML.
And probably one of the practical use is that we create this file ahead of time, and then at runtime, an EBXML messaging system knows pretty much exactly what it has to do.
That's right. So the general pattern of use is to, in some way, create a CPP or a CPA template, which is to be used at the setup of a communication channel. And then the agreement's information will be drawn and actually used to configure an MSH or even a BSI in how it operates at runtime.
What other standards or EBXML standards is CPA related to?
Well, it mainly ties together, at least in the initial 2.0 version, the approach of the BPSS as giving a process specification with the approach of EBXML messaging 2.0. It was always a goal that, in a way, this was a general problem of tying together a process description with a messaging capability. And the idea was originally that something quite general would be written, so that future process specifications, perhaps not EBXML ones, could be linked to future messaging systems, perhaps not EBXML messaging system, but something with suitable properties for doing business collaboration, presumably certain kinds of qualities of service. That turned out to be a kind of complicated problem to make it so that extensible. And in fact, a good chunk of the work since 2.0 was published and then became an ISO ITU standard as well has been to finish the task of making the CPP and CPA schemas and approach extensible, at least in those dimensions, to different approaches to the details of communication and linking them with business process descriptions. So that has been... And of course, correcting the inevitable errata and unclear part of the original document, of which there were a few, but not a lot. In fact, people still successfully use 2.0 for their work.
Mm-hmm. So, what's the current status of the technical committee?
It's a small crew of people. It's not a tremendously exciting and sexy kind of topic, CPA. It's very much pragmatic and practical, okay. But it requires that you know both sides of things, which means that both the process description sides as well as the messaging side, which means that number of people who are general enough to cover all both areas is probably not enormous. People tend to specialize on maybe the lower layers or the upper layers, but putting them, trying to get them all meshing in between is kind of demanding. So we have a small group. As I said, we have pretty much reached a state of quiescence on errata. I don't think I've heard any errors reported. There have been requests for enhancements, and we have added some of those as we go along in terms of more detailed, configurations about where acknowledgements go, for example. There have been various enhancements of that sort. We've also made an attempt to relate the structure of the profiles and agreements to other messaging systems. We have a section on how to make use of the EDIINT protocols with the business process descriptions, if you'd like. There is room for how to make use of WSDL in descriptions of the services and operations that are exchanged. So we have provision for people who want to make use of WSDL-based descriptions of aspects of collaboration to do so. Mm-hmm. And we have, in fact, accommodated the BPSS 2.0 approach a much richer approach to process description, as well as the earlier 1.x levels of business process descriptions. We're still looking, I guess, to increase that list of extensibility, but we've at least made certain that we can relate it, different messaging systems, to different kinds of process descriptions, and that is at least part of our original goal. Exactly which ones are added on will probably follow market usage, like how many people use the various protocols for different B2B interactions. EDIN protocols are widely used, and they're a natural choice, I think. Maybe eventually as web services take off, we'll have more room for those descriptions. There are other emerging process descriptions that might fit in as well as the BPSS descriptions. So we are still writing editor's drafts, and we hope, because it's taken a while really to get the drafts done, we hope to incorporate support for EBMS messaging system version 3, which has a number of new features which require some extensions to the original 2.0 schema. So that is what's on our plate, is maintenance, enhancements, and corrections, making the spec more widely useful to business and the collaboration of software to support exchange of data. And there another project that's been sidetracked, negotiation, and that's another story. Do you want to go into that?
Yeah, one point end users probably have to know is that in the end, you're going to have one of these configuration files or agreement files per trading partner relationship. So if one company or organization has 1,000 trading partners, you're going to have 1,000 CPAs. And it's going to be a task to manage these individual CPAs. And my next question would have been, have you been looking at ways to manage, to self-manage sort of,
okay,
these CPAs, and that would lead to CPA negotiation.
Right. Well, I mean, one thing I have to correct is that the CPA is defines a way to exchange information between parties. So it's not required that a messaging system, of course, makes use of those 1,000 files and puts them in a directory on their system and actually read them at runtime. I didn't mean to suggest that. In fact, it's quite typical to parse the XML files, extract the information, and put it into a database record for that trading partner, and handle the 1,000 records of trading partners in that fashion. Now, of course, it is possible that the same trading partner have different requirements for different kinds of business process or information exchange. Like some might not have security requirements as stringent as others. And it is possible then that there actually be multiple records per trading partner, all of which could go into one file or, in fact, several files if you wanted to make separate CPA agreements about them. We left that flexible about exactly how many business process activities would be incorporated in one file. So you could have one file for all, but you could have separate files for each process, more or less. But and I think in practice, I see a slight tendency in favor of economy of files, trying to put them together, but not sure that that's
a
necessity. Okay.
I saw the same. Yeah, they wanna make it easier for their trading partners to have only one.
I think that goes along with the general idea that IT departments like this cookie cutter approach, especially when they have a 1,000 records. They don't like a lot of exceptions and nuances. Just the ones that they have to support. So there has to be flexibility because there always will be special partners that have special requirements. But to some degree, the idea is to promote standardization and simplification of all this details to make it more manageable. And manageability is really what you were asking me about the first part. In the initial view, there was kind of a story told about how you would set up a trading relationship, and it would go something like this. You would consult the registry to find out, what CPPs were available from partners, your partners that you were interested in, and see how their details, and then you would propose a candidate CPA and send it to them, and they would examine it and see whether or not they were in agreement and perhaps make changes. in it and send a counter proposal back to you. And so it was pictured as a very much a peer-to-peer kind of negotiation that would, from starting from the acquisition of profiles or templates of the partner you wish to do business with, to finally having an agreed-upon agreement that both of you could share and then input into your configuration databases. That picture has perhaps, I mean, it's still possible, and we have worked and have an editor's draft of a negotiation process, largely the work of Marty Sachs, but also Carta worked on it as an editor. And it is sitting somewhat, you know, ready to be worked on if we see that the end user community has demand to have that kind of functionality supported. But in fact, you hinted at earlier that the initial deployments for large hubs have tended to want to have self-registration. That is, some way in which they could tell their partner, go to this website and access it on this URL and enter your details of who you are and, you know, pick your process and that you want to do with us, and we will, behind the scenes, as it were, build a CPA for you. We'll ask you about your security requirements, and that's one of the trickier parts, to exchange the certificates in that fashion, to upload that file of the X509 signing and encrypting certificates you may be using, but that's still doable. And, all those things are then assembled, and both people can then download or transfer the file, the resulting agreement, to their respective sites and begin work. So it's kind of, you might say, a larger site typically puts up a self-registration website, which allows behind the scene a CPA to be built. That is, I think, another architectural pattern, which perhaps is more common than the peer-to-peer interaction I mentioned earlier. Either one results in the advantages of CPA by promoting the kind of ease of setup of a community.
Another question, Dave. Do you also see this pattern that first people wanted to just exchange messages? So we're looking at eXML messages. Then they saw eXML CPAs as a way to configure. And now they want to move up to the next level of doing eXML business processes.
Well, there, I have to admit that my experience has been that many of the people who have invested in the technology have wanted to perhaps make use of all three of those layers, the CPA to support configuration and setup and ease of management of the community, the BPSS to define the processes that the community would engage in, and the messaging to move things around, which could be driven off of the configuration information. They've all expressed interest. I have worked for Cyclone, and we have not always been able to support every aspect of it. We do import CPAs, and we have almost always been asked to support CPAs along with messaging, except perhaps in the earliest days. So I tend to see the people interested in EBXML as an approach as wanting CPA support, and they also probably implicitly also have a BPSS process in mind as well. The people adopting EBXML have fairly demanding ideas about the processes they're going to enter into. You can think of it this way, Sasha. If all you need to do is securely exchange data, and it's kind of one kind of document, and you just send it to somebody, there already exist these REST-style EDIM approaches that are whose security is well established, whose interoperability across 30 vendors is also established and available, and that approach, you know, works well for just moving the data securely and with an acknowledged transfer that is kind of a reliable determination that you know the other people got it. It's when you enter into this more elaborate process, you know, in which you have things being put together and you order or provision some kind of functionality, and then you have to, you know, follow it up with some further step and then go in with some additional step to finally complete the process. There is when you start seeing people beginning to think about, deploying an EBXML solution. There are stages of message exchange and states that you have to check and things of that sort. So my experience has been that the real market is this, probably not just a simple data exchange market, but rather a market in which people have more demanding process-oriented demands, and they want to. I mean, they're trying to get to a very simple technology. I'm sure that as we have more experience with this as software developers and firms, we will increasingly make this simpler. And, you know, the web-based interfaces that, you know, do not force people to know about the gory details of CPAs will help a lot to promote the acceptability and widespread use of these kinds of technologies or successors. But the direction that we're going in, I think, is the one that large communities want to do. They want the complexity to be hideable under the covers, but they also want that complexity nailed down and defined so that, you know, these actually very complicated technical processes involving security and reliability can be carried out automatically and monitored. So I think that there is a market. I think that people who thought that everybody was going to throw out whatever they were using and jump on EBXML were not being very realistic in their expectations. And I think that we're learning a lot as both vendors and as a user community that has adopted the technology about, you know, what needs to be done and how we can make it more usable and valuable for everyone involved.
Okay, we're coming to the end of the interview, Dale. If you want to summarize maybe Outlook, EBXML, CPPA, and give a few of your core comments about EBXML CPPA.
Okay. Well, I think I've already hinted at the summary right now is really driven by enhancement demands of end users, mm-hmm. and by the emerging new specs for messaging or process descriptions that will keep us busy for some time, I'm sure. And just to maintain the standards and make them relevant to the business collaboration area as it evolves is really the future for CPA. Whether there could be something that replaces it, well, I mean, I'd be happy to have something else that did it functionally equivalently. At the moment, I don't think there's anything out there that quite has this ambition or makes it quite this easy. Things are spread out diversely over potentially thousands of different files. I'm not sure that that's going to be easier than having it in one file, but time will tell. Maybe that distributed approach of policies for this and policies for that, and maybe they'll also be built into other configuration files. The distribution of the information as well as the distribution of the processes is subject to all kinds of architectural kinds of experiments and innovations as we learn with it, learn about it. So I don't think that this whole area is finished yet. Still has a lot of room to explore and customize itself for the various demands in the marketplace.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Dale, for your time and sharing your knowledge with us.
Well, thank you, Sasha, for the questions.
Okay. Have a nice weekend.
Same to you.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye,
Dale.